it's great to be here before the group and share with you a little something that we kind of put together in our office on the fly. This is obviously associated with my day job at DHS. But basically, the challenge that we had was a new office that was not very well known, with very broad with very broad coordination requirements, but no authority to necessarily make that happen. So, as you all know, relationships are everything. How do we just click that? Okay. So just my quick disclosures, the opinions expressed in this presentation are mine alone and don't necessarily reflect the opinion of Department of Defense or the Army Medical Department, and obviously there's no relationships to disclose in this topic. So going back, I think the concept of One Medicine, as we all know, has been revisited, fortunately, within the past decade, I think, with globalization, the importation of so many food products and animal products from overseas, I think we're, and also obviously with possible pandemics, we're reawakening to this link between veterinary medicine and human public health. And just to give you a quick update before we get into this, I just kind of have to show you so you have a framework to understand where we are. This is the Department of Homeland Security, kind of a mammoth 208,000 employee organization, 22 different things were thrown together in 2003, and there is an Office of Health Affairs which came online in 2007. They actually did not even have an Office of Medical and Veterinary Expertise for several years while the department was getting stood up. But that's where we're located, and we directly report to the Secretary. And then within the Office of Health Affairs, I'll go over the organization here real quick. I don't have a pointer, but this is Food, Agriculture, and Veterinary Defense. It's about right now a 10-person office that branches off, and we have a very sweeping requirement to kind of do end-to-end coordination for pandemics, food safety issues, import safety. So many challenges and very few people, and that's our mandate. The Assistant Secretary for Health Affairs is the designated DHS office accountable for the veterinary, food, and agriculture security responsibilities. And just a quick run-through punch list of what our office's mission is. We serve the Secretary and the FEMA Administrator as the Veterinary Advisor. We coordinate the agro-defense activities of the Department and ensure internal-external coordination of the veterinary preparedness activities, not only within the federal government, but also ideally to the states and locals. And we're the primary point of contact with the private sector on veterinary and public health issues. You may not know this, but a tremendous amount of things were brought under DHS in the VetAg realm in 2003 when the department was stood up. I mean, things as varied as Plum Island over there on the left, obviously to the CBP working dogs, the ag inspectors at the ports of entry, and a whole host of other things as well. So it's a lot to cover down on with a skeleton crew. So you can see how the One Medicine Social can foster this collaboration. This is just a quick snapshot of all the coordination that we are required to do. Homeland Security Presidential Directive 9 requires that DHS will, at catastrophic events, will do all of the coordination in conjunction with HHS and USDA for multi-incident FMD outbreak, widespread food contamination. So this is just showing all we have to do, very complex Venn diagrams. That's up there is within DHS. Obviously, we have the whole private sector realm, states and local, and the federal. It's a lot. It's a heavy lift with a very short fulcrum to do it. So this is the National Response Framework, and this guides the DHS response, and we're engaging partnerships, scaling response, and the most important takeaway, I think, there on the bottom is this is kind of Dr. McGinn, the chief veterinarian of DHS's mission, to kind of advocate for our office and demystify necessarily what we do. He likes to talk about the office as an embassy, if you will, within this mammoth organization. It is the food and ag embassy, a seat at the table within this large framework. So getting to the social. This is just this picture is a great example of the kind of collaboration. There's Dr. McGinn, second from the right. We have the Army, the FDA, and the USDA just all coming together in kind of a lighthearted environment. This was started informally in fall of 2006 by our chief veterinarian, and it was just a kind of an on-the-fly attempt to bring together NGOs, government stakeholders, people from think tanks, industry groups, and forge relationships that would build trust and encourage collaboration. And candidly, break through some of the fog of skepticism I think a lot of people had about DHS and kind of our role even within the food and ag space. And there's Dr. McGinn, a little bit more formal photo, and that's kind of his mission statement of what it's supposed to be. It's an atmosphere where people can feel comfortable, interact, disseminate, and focus on the One Health aspects that we're all working towards. It's a very varied target audience. We have someone who assists in collating our mailing list, but obviously veterinarians are at the top of the list. But you know, we have many public health folks, emergency management people who have no biological public health or veterinary training. Congressional staff. This has been enormously helpful, especially over the past 2 years with split government. There's kind of tension between the legislative and the executive branch, two different parties, and this gives kind of an opportunity for people to meet over a beer and a good dinner and really kind of just kind of get the ground truth on a lot of things. Think tanks, academics, and industry and the military. This is where we have our social. It's the Capital Yacht Club. They're held on the second Thursday of each month. This has been a very, very interesting, newsworthy place because moored at the club are Senator Ted Stevens and Larry Craig. Both have their boats there. So it's almost surreal. You know, we're having the social, and there's Senator Craig, especially last year with all the news attention, walking by, and also. Dirk Kempthorne, the Secretary of Interior, also lives there as well. So the format for the social is pretty straightforward. We just kind of have an informal cocktail hour, let people with their staggered times they get out of work. We have a buffet dinner, sometimes more of a picnic style in the summer. We do Oktoberfest, we do a St. Patrick's thing with corned beef, always a vegetarian option. We have an interesting guest speaker, question-answer session, and then afterwards, we allow first-time attendees to introduce themselves so everyone gets to know. Basically, this is $15, and it's a cash bar, but you get the speaker, the venue, and a pretty good meal. And it's, as you can see, a very diverse array of guest speakers. This is just who we've had over the past 15 months. Different universities, veterinary constituencies, things like the State Department, and over here on the right, you can see just some of our more key speakers. That's Dr. Billy Karish from the Wildlife Conservation Society, who does global avian influenza surveillance. That's Dr. Steven Sundloff on the bottom, showing the chemical reaction with melamine from FDA veterinary. So it's a kind of a very interesting, engaging opportunity for people to share. And this is an important thing because the ethics people kind of took a look at this. We're not officially sponsored by any one entity. This is kind of a volunteer thing on behalf of a few feds within DHS. Program planning is done through a review committee drawn from multiple organizations. Right now we have an Air Force Reserve Lieutenant Colonel, obviously folks from DHS. We have someone from FDA and the AVMA who just kind of get together and steer where this is going. And we do these reviews twice annually to discuss scheduling, what needs to be improved and tweaked, and format modifications. The immediate dividends are that the participants develop relationships with a broad range of stakeholders. That's probably the most important thing. And it's a cultural trust and collegiality which breaks down some of the silos and walls. It gives the opportunity for the people at the FDA and the DHS program level to get to know each other instead of necessarily having to route everything through many layers of bureaucracy. And a mature One Medicine network results in better information sharing during emergencies as well as routine operations. And I'm going to go through that, some real good examples. These are just a few of the examples of enhanced collaboration that we've done. The linkage we were able to do with the pet food recall in 07 was vital. The suspected FMD case up in Austin, Minnesota in 2007, again, that was very, these were some of these partnerships had worked real well on that. The Salmonella St. Paul outbreak, the recent and ongoing Chinese milk incident, the PETS Act implementation outside of Katrina. We had a very short timeline and a mandate from Congress to kind of get the companion animal evacuation piece right and do it quickly. And this really, allowed us to know who to go to immediately and demystified that. And lastly was the Import Safety Working Group. We had a 90-day suspense to look at this, and since DHS now owns Customs and Border, this was a chance for, again, the folks from FDA and HHS with equities to kind of know who we were ahead of time, and that was very valuable. I believe, and Dr. McGinn believes, that this is an exportable concept and a format. And these are just some of the things that immediately come to mind where this could be replicated. Obviously, in a university setting, state capitals, kind of a microcosm of Washington, if you will. State animal response teams, this could be a good way for some of them to perhaps gain some currency, traction, and visibility for emergency management and for the public public health community. And one of the valuable things, I think, for this has been it's really a chance to again, demystify DHS. And I think one important thing is, you know, there's been this constant drumbeat of terrorism and you know, some real, some perhaps overstated. But we've really seen that, increase in global trade, as you saw those examples, has really been the driver for us. And that's really what most of the things have triggered our office's intervention. And so if you have any questions or if you'd like to be on our mailing list, we send out pictures of the talks and summaries. You can copy down that email address. And the point of contact within DHS in a volunteer capacity is Ms. Jessica Rubel at the Office of Health Affairs. Thank you very much. Oh, and we also have these nice Tax Dollars at Work brochures in the back. If you want to read about the DHS Office of Health Affairs, I left them for you to take on the way out.
Yeah, I'm Liz Weissman of the National Post Board. I've actually been to some of your webinars and socials and enjoyed them. I would recommend that any of you who may look at setting them up at a local level, we tend to find that industry is kind of an afterthought quite often, and yet we're the people who are able to either implement or interact or tell you what real life on a farm actually is. So I'd encourage you, if you do it at a state level, to look at your state commodity and industry groups to be a big part of this, because public health is our mission in food safety.
Other questions? See, what I'm going to take and do, work with this young man on is, next year we'll have a whole session on One Medicine Social, or maybe even more.